Thank you, Jane. Could you just go back to the previous one, Charlie? And then Jesus continued and said, the second is like this, love your neighbor as yourself. And all the law and the prophets hang on to these two commandments. So friends, a religious professional comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus this very, very, very important question. He says, I want to know what is the most important commandment. Now, do you know how many commandments were there? 10? Well, about 613 just in Torah, the first five books of the Bible. That's excluding the Mishnah, an additional law book some of the Jewish rabbis used. And so this guy comes along and he wants to know which one is the most important one, the essential, the non-negotiable commandment. Kind of my kind of guy, looking for the shortcuts in life. 613, come on, let's summarize that. There must be one or two that's perfect, that's great, that's non-negotiable. And so he asks Jesus, which one is that? And so Jesus does something which I think we need to follow carefully. He takes from the Old Testament what the Jewish people called the Shema. The Shema is what a faithful Jew recites as they wake up in the morning and recites again as they go to bed at night. Deuteronomy 6. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Love the Lord your God. That's the Shema. And Jesus takes that and he holds on to that. It's absolutely central to the message of Jesus. But then he does something else. Of the 613 commandments, he selects another one, and that comes from Leviticus 19. And Jesus puts those two commands together. There's an American theologian, Scott McKnight, that wrote a book called The Jesus Creed, and he says, this is the Jesus Creed. Love the Lord your God, love your neighbor. Now friends, when Jesus gives this or these commands, he's not trying to make life difficult for us. He gives these two commands because he knows us. He knows something about us that we often forget. Friends, this is what we are made for. Our deepest, deepest, deepest need as a human being is to love and to be loved. That's how we were wired. Jesus knows that we are divinely designed for divine connection. We are wired this way to love and to be loved. And so, friends, the invitation this morning is to fall in love with the God who is deeply, deeply in love with you. Now, maybe you're unfamiliar with this type of language, or maybe you just feel uncomfortable with this type of language. Let me reframe it then for you. There's this invitation this morning to love God and to be loved by Him. That's the invitation. Now I have to be very honest with you. How do you love someone you can't see? How do you deeply, deeply fall in love or love someone you can't see? Someone with no edges, shapes, boundaries? I wrestled with this and in a sense are still wrestling with this. And maybe you are also thinking about this. And so for this morning, I want to offer you three simplistic suggestions. Three very, very simple suggestions. And with every suggestion, maybe a practice. Something you can try. How do I fall in love with God? How do I love God? Three suggestions. And maybe a practice with every suggestion. Something you can try. So first, how do we fall in love with God? First of all, I think we fall in love with God when we allow God's love to touch us. I think we fall in love with God when we allow God's love to touch us. That's how it begins. Have a look at 1 John. 1 John says this, we love because He loved us first. Friends, it begins with God. And when we experience, realize in our hearts and minds that we are deeply loved by God, something shifts in us. Do you need to hear it again this morning? God loves you. God loves you deeply. You, my friends, are God's sailboat. He loves you. Bought twice. We live in a world where acceptance or love or value or worth comes from achievement, doing, production. I think that's what I love the most about the baptism of Jesus. Before Jesus did anything, before healing people, before gathering crowds, before doing miracles, before any of that, at the baptism of Jesus, as Jesus comes out of the water, Matthew tells us this. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said this, "This is my Son, whom I love." Before Jesus did anything, God's announcement, God's affirmation is, "This is my Son, whom I love." Which is interesting. I'm going off on a tangent a bit, but which is interesting, directly after the baptism of Jesus, Jesus goes where? Into the wilderness. And as the devil comes and tempts him, the devil starts each temptation with these words, if you are the Son of God, then you would. Which brings us to a whole other sermon about trust, but we'll get there. I just love this. This is my Son whom I love. Do you need to hear this, my friend? That's who you are. That's your identity. The good news of the Christian faith, and hold on to this, is that at the heart of this universe, there's a great love. And that love, with a capital letter, has desired us into existence. It has created us. It is why we are here. That love, capital letter, calls each and every one of us by our name. That love keeps inviting us. That love never gives up on us. Friends, and that love, God's love, calls us, invites us today again for our response. Now, you may say to me this morning, and I respect that, MC, I hear you, but I have not had a sense of that love for me. I don't feel it. I haven't experienced it. It's very abstract. And if that is you, I have a lot of respect for your honesty. May I give you a little practice then? Something to try. Are you up for that? Here's the practice, friends. Here's the practice if you want to experience God's love. Here's the practice. Ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit. I will simply pray, Holy Spirit, help me today to be aware of God's personal love for me. Holy Spirit, help me today to be aware of God's personal love for me. And honestly, I don't know, friends, how that love will come to you. I don't know. It may come through other people. It may come through nature. It may come through music or art or even, you never know, a sermon. So I will ask. I will not plead. I will not beg. I will just ask. Holy Spirit, help me today to be aware of God's personal love for me. God loves me, friends, personally. God loves me personally. Now, just help me to be aware of that love. And then as you pray that, friends, be open. Be open for God to come and surprise you. That's the practice. Holy Spirit, help me to be aware of God's love for me today. The second thing. I think this love for God matures, it grows, it gets richer and deeper when we hang in there with God, especially through dark and difficult moments. Personally, I had a very profound encounter with God when I was a teenager. I will probably tell you more about this sometime. But my life radically changed when I was about 16 years old. I remember I had this kind of life, doing all kinds of stuff, and then had an encounter with God, and my life changed radically. It was transformed. But in that moment, I remembered it distinctly. In that moment when I surrendered my life to God, or when I had this encounter with God, the sun seems brighter. The flowers had more colors. I smiled about for 6 weeks nonstop. Couldn't explain it. The girl I loved suddenly said yes. Yes, MC, I will go out with you. Amazing. I forgot my homework in the most strictest teacher's class. And he was like, forget about it. It's fine. We'll sort it out next time. I prayed for parking and I got it. That kind of life. But then, often, as we journey with God, there's moments of deep disappointments, right? That girl I liked, she dumped me. That teacher, I forgot my homework the other day, he punished me. I prayed for parking, couldn't find it. You know, that moments of deep grief, as life happens, there's moments of deep grief, sadness, heartbreak. And it is in these moments, friends, if I can hang in there with God, that's how somehow there's a maturing of our love, a deepening of our love. I don't know if this makes sense. So let me try to be practical. This is not on you. This is my story. So this year, myself and Zella will be married 25 years. And I wish I could write a book on marriage, but I have no idea how we're doing it. Maybe something like Grace and Grit. I don't know. But I'm glad we hung in there. And we are still, in a sense, hanging in there, because there's moments that I just feel this deep maturing of this love. It's a reality of life, friends. It's no longer just a feeling, because sometimes the feelings are just not there. Trust me. Zelda will testify the same thing. Sometimes the feelings are just not there. But I know I am loved. And I know I love her. Now, let me be honest. We have little nicknames for each other, Zelda and myself. Actually, everyone in our little family, we've got nicknames. It's kind of our love words for each other. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not going to share with you what's my little nickname, what Zelda calls me, my little love name. Because one, it's Afrikaans, and two, I'm afraid you will start calling me that. Oh, there's Reverend so-and-so, and oh, there's our minister, Reverend so-and-so. So I'm not going to share with you Zelda's little love word for me. But friends, in our darkest moments, we will call each other by that name. And in that love word, there's a memory, there's a history. There's connection, and it holds us. When it gets dark and difficult and painful, we will call each other by that little name. And with God, Jesus gives us a love word that we can call God by. Jesus gives us this little love word. Jesus says, here is my love word for God. It's the word Abba. There isn't actually a very good English translation for this word. Some say it translates into something like daddy or dad, but that doesn't really do it justice at all. Abba is a word of profound intimacy, respect, dignity, fondness. And Jesus calls God Abba. You will remember as Jesus was going on his way to the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane in Mark chapter 14, a dark, difficult time in the life of Jesus. How does he call unto God? Abba. Abba, Father. Abba. Abba. And friends, I want to invite you this morning. If you are in this moment, if you're watching online or you're here this morning, and you are going through a dark, difficult space, you're in a difficult moment, can I give you this word, Abba? You see, it renews our sense of who God is for us and who we are to God. You are a child of Abba. You are His beloved. Let me repeat it. You're His sailboat. Abba loves you. He knows your name. He even knows how many hair you have or have left on your head. Abba. 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 And then last suggestion, friends. It is to let this love that God has for us, to let that love flow through us to others. This is how this love grows. When we let the love of God that He has for us flows through us to others. That's why Jesus puts these two commandments together. It is to live in the flow of His love. I simultaneously love and hate the words from 1 John chapter 4. He says, whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they can see cannot love God whom they have not seen. And He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister, and my own personal translation, neighbor. I hate and love these words. You see, what I appreciate so much from Jesus is He didn't say to us, you must love the world, a faceless group, a mass of people. I don't know if you've ever been to a rock concert. If you've not been to a rock concert yet, let me tell you, the band or the artist is up there, and then somewhere during their show, their performance, the lead singer on stage of this band will yell and scream these words to the crowd. We love you. We love you. And then the crowd goes berserk into chaos. But that's nonsense, right? That band leader doesn't even know my name. God can hold the love of every human being. I really honestly can't. I just don't have the capacity. And so Jesus says, love your neighbor. It's someone close. It's someone you see. It's someone you know. It's someone you greet. It's someone you interact with. It's someone you work with, play with, struggle with, disagree with. Your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Friends, to be honest with you, my greatest and deepest failings in life has been failures to love well. I just love badly at times, badly. And I can recall a few examples today, but I would rather not dwell and share too much of my own struggle. I just know that I need a practice. I need a practice to keep me in this flow. And it's a difficult practice, friends. But it's a simple one as well. And it's the practice of confession. Saying I'm sorry. Saying sorry to God and saying sorry to people. Confessing, I'm sorry. It's learning to live without the defense, rationalization, without blaming. It's just learning to confess. And I think confession just opens our lives again to love. Now, let me end. I don't know if this was helpful. I pray and hope that this was helpful. But I want to invite you this morning, friends, to fall in love, to love God, who is deeply, deeply, deeply in love with you. You're His sailboat. And so, friends, for this morning, I want to invite you to pray a simple prayer. To pray a simple prayer. Holy Spirit, will you please make me aware of the Father's personal love for me? Pray that prayer and then be open. I'm giving you one word this morning. If you are going through a dark, difficult space, I'm giving you one word this morning. Abba. Abba. It's a love word. It's a word with intimacy and history and connection. And I'm inviting you, friends, to discover how confession, just saying I'm sorry, how that can set us free to love. God loves you, friends. Let us live lives of love, because all we need is love. Let us pray. I'm going to give you a few moments of silence for personal prayer. Maybe you're struggling to experience God. Maybe you're struggling to think about God's love because it's so abstract. I want to give you time. Maybe you want to pray today in this space. Holy Spirit, just make me aware. Maybe you're in a dark, difficult space this morning. And maybe the prayer you have on your lips is just a whisper. And it's the cry to Abba. Maybe you are sitting here this morning and you just want to confess, Lord, I'm sorry. Let's use this time. Lord Jesus, you know our hearts. You know what we are feeling. You know our minds. You know what we are thinking. You know our lives inside and out. Thank you that in all honesty we can come to you and pray. I pray for everyone who longs to experience your love. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will touch them. I pray for everyone this morning going through a dark, difficult space, that as they whisper, Abba, you will be with them, Lord Jesus. And I pray for everyone with the boldness to confess, that you will encourage them and give them the strength to be open and honest. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God and Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you love us. We love you. Amen.